7. Borlyov's Occupation, Day 9. Han put the Falcon into a dive toward Luzonkia. It was like diving into an erupting volcano. Luzonkia's hull was incandescent with firing ion cannons and laser batteries, making near space around her a blinding kill zone. But her kill zone was safety compared to what was on the Falcon's tail. Half a dozen coral skippers, their pilots determined and vengeful. Plasma cannon ejecta flashed by the Falcon's viewports and hammered into her stern shields. The Millennium Falcon's own guns fired, sending their damage aft against the coral skipper pursuit. From the shouts bouncing forward from the gunport accesses, it sounded as though Ganner and Alima Rar were in control of the guns. He thought the other Jedi in the passenger area, all survivors of Anakin's raid on the Yuuzhan Vong worldship above Mirker, were cheering them on. As the Falcon dipped in closer to Luzonkia, Han could no longer hear the cheering. Laser blasts and explosions flashed by close enough to rock her, to batter her shields. Somewhere astern, machinery came free of its housing and smashed to the Falcon's deck, and as Han continued to roll, juke, and dive, he could hear the distinctive sound of shrapnel impacts as components of the machinery began slamming into bulkheads. "Sounds expensive," Leia said. Han shot her a betrayed look. Then they were clear of the kill zone, astern of Luzonkia, where the Superstar Destroyer's lasers no longer crisscrossed over their heads. The sensors showed no skips on the Falcon's tail, though more were incoming, several seconds from being close enough to fire. Han breathed out a sigh of relief. "If we pick up more pursuit, I'm going back through," he said. "Those guys are good." Leia frowned. "Who?" "The gunners on Luzonkia. They picked off our pursuit and didn't put a scratch on us." "Han, they were trying to kill us, too. I saw those batteries traversing to follow us. We're nothing more than another blur to them. You just outflew them. The skiffs didn't." "Oh." Han looped around a port, away from the incoming coral skippers. He circled Luzonkia at an almost safe distance and watched the Star Destroyer's cloud of starfighters engaging the Yuuzhan Vong. "Then I'm not going back."
"Right.
Do you have an exit vector for us?" She consulted the sensor board again. "We're almost smack in the middle of their fleet. The thinnest screen between us and clear space is back that way." She gestured out along the course by which they'd arrived in system. Then she peered more closely at her screen. "I have friendly signals there. One Star Destroyer and more ships arriving." Han snapped the Falcon around toward that course so sharply that he and Leia, and presumably all those aboard, were mashed into their acceleration couches. Belatedly, he shouted over his shoulder, "Hang on!" Luke led Twin Sun's squadron away from Borlyov's high orbit at top speed and felt his smile withering away. A moment ago, he'd been as close to happy as one can be when caught in the middle of a firefight. The enemy had suddenly become uncoordinated, sure sign that their Yamask had died and that they'd have to quit the battlefield. And Luke hadn't lost a pilot in the engagement. He'd hoped their job was almost done, but the unusual nature of his new orders suggested it was barely started. A beep from R2-D2 alerted him that Mon Mothma was broadcasting her beacon. Luke looped around to be oriented straight toward that broadcast location, while his astromech plotted that direction as a hyperspace jump course. He clicked his comlink over to squadron frequency. "Announce readiness," he said, and added, "Leader ready." "2. Corrin tucked his X-wing into Luke's port. 3. Zindra moved up to Luke's starboard. 6. 4. When all other 11 pilots had acknowledged, Luke set a 5-second timer and broadcast it to coordinate it with his other pilots. "Clench him if you got him," he said. The counter dropped to 0. The Twin Suns jumped into hyperspace and then dropped almost immediately back into real space, a jump duration of far less than 2 seconds. Ahead, Luke saw Mon Mothma, her pointed bow aimed back in his direction, Borlyus's direction. Little gouts of red from the Star Destroyer's vicinity suggested that she was being harassed by coral skippers, but before Luke could direct his squadron against them, R2-D2 beeped to indicate incoming orders. Luke glanced at the text scroll and led his squadron in a tight loop around toward the Yuuzhan Vong fleet behind them. "All right, people. We're to get to Luzonkia and punch a hole for her. Anyone gets in the way, discourage him." Rogue Squadron dropped out of its micro-jump close to Mon Mothma. The Star Destroyer's complement of starfighters already had space secure around her. Some of them were accelerating into the engagement zone toward Luzonkia. Gavin led the Rogues in a tight loop in the same direction. His comlink crackled. "Ah, Twin Suns is there ahead of us." That was Volu Knife, a human woman from Kuwat, a new Rogue. Gavin put some snap into his voice. "No unnecessary chatter." Then he lowered his tone. "Besides, we had to travel farther to get here." Han bit back a curse as he sent the Falcon through a bewildering series of side-to-side and up-and-down maneuvers designed to throw off the aim of his pursuers, all eight of them. It wasn't just the danger to his ship, his wife, his passengers that made him unhappy. He was getting tired. 20 years ago, a fight like this would have just loosened him up and made him ornery. Now sweat was pouring from him, and he could feel fatigue in his arms. "Friendlies ahead," Leia said. She had to shout to be heard over the continuous firing of the Falcon's guns. Han glanced at his sensors and made a minor adjustment to their course. Minor, but so abruptly executed that it slammed Leia rightward. If not for the co-pilot's harness, she would have been hurled from her seat. He grimaced. He still needed to get that seat replaced with something made to human scale. "Sorry," he said. The friendly signal ahead broke into four smaller signals, each of them made up of three blips, shield trios, meaning it was probably an X-wing unit. As the Falcon neared them, they spread out in attack formation, but not very far apart, and then opened fire. Their lasers flashed close enough to the Falcon, Han thought, to peel paint from her hull. Then the X-wings were gone, and so were four of the pursuing coral skipper signals. 5. The Falcon's upper gun turret scored a kill, and suddenly pursuit was down to 3 coral skippers. "Who was that?" Han shouted. "Me!" The voice was female. So it was Alima in the top turret, Ganner in the bottom. 3 we can handle," Han said. This time he remembered to shout, "Hold on!" Then he set the freighter into a painfully tight loop upward. He was pushed hard back into his pilot's couch as the acceleration compensator failed to keep up with the maneuver. In the midst of the maneuver, when the acceleration forces were at their height, he glanced at his wife, expecting her to be crushed motionless against the back of her chair, but she was actually sitting forward against the tremendous acceleration. She gave him an amused, even superior, look. A Jedi technique, it had to be, something on the order of levitating rocks. He tried to keep jealousy from his expression and called over his shoulder, "Alima, wait for the booms before firing. 1, 2, 3. "Understood." As the 3 remaining coral skippers came back into view, Han saw that they were only just beginning to rise in pursuit of the Falcon. His maneuver, executed so soon after the Rogues had cut their numbers in half, had confused and delayed the Yuuzhan Vong for a fatal moment. Han armed the Falcon's concussion missile launcher and fired at the foremost coral skipper. At this distance, he could fire again at the second and once more at the rearmost before the first missile hit. Then it did. An explosion that should have shattered the skip into flinders of Yorick coral, but was instead sucked into the void projected by the vehicle's Dovan Basal. But Alima Rar's shot with the turret laser flashed past the void and sheared through the skip's coral armor. The coral skipper exploded as its internal mechanisms were superheated, their fluids converted instantly to steam and gas. The second missile detonated, with the same result, and Alima's second shot punched through the amber-colored canopy. The canopy blew out as though the pilot were about to eject, but Han knew the skips didn't have ejection seats. There was no pilot left behind, just a blackened crater where his body and seat had been. The third skip pilot, fast on the reflexes, turned and dived away from the Falcon, presenting a narrower profile to aim at, maneuvering to be below the top turret's angle of fire. The concussion missile's explosion flooded into the void at the skip's rear, and then Ganner's laser shot penetrated the skip's lower hull, shearing through the vehicle, emerging through the top hull amidships. Amazingly, still flyable, the skip accelerated away, trailing cloudy debris that had to be body fluids flash-frozen by exposure to vacuum. "The rogues?" Han asked. He felt out of breath.
"Reaching Lusankya," Leia said. "We have a friendly ahead."
Indeed, there was another Imperial Star Destroyer in their path, an older model than Mon Mothma. It was maneuvering around from an outbound course to turn toward Lusankya. "What say we tuck into her launching bay and rest for a minute?" She smiled. "You're the captain." "I notice you never say that to me when you disagree with something I've said." As they neared the Star Destroyer, Leia let out a little noise of surprise. "Han, she's the Rebel Dream." Han looked, startled, at the ship before them. Rebel Dream had once been Leia's flagship. Not her command, since naval officers always captained her, but a vessel at her beck and call, chosen to lend credence to her importance as she conducted negotiations between the New Republic and unaligned planetary systems. The Millennium Falcon had rested for some months in one of Rebel Dream's cargo holds, while Han had led a military campaign against a rogue warlord. Leia's expression was open, thoughtful, and years seemed to drop away from her as she revisited those long-ago times. "What do you think, Han?" "She looks like she's in wonderful condition." "Yes, she does." Leia glanced over and realized that her husband wasn't looking at the ship. She flushed, but looked amused. "Han, get your mind back on work." "Sorry. Getting old. Easily distracted." Han kept his exultation, his victory, from his face. For one moment, he'd distracted Leia from the ache that had consumed her since Anakin and Jason were lost. Maybe if he could do it again from time to time, the poison of that ache would not claim Leia, would not take her from him, too. "Sure. Old. Of course." "Lusankya has her escort," Tycho said. "And with them keeping the Yuuzhan Vong fighters and frigate analogs at bay, she's ripping a seam right through their fleet." Wedge nodded. The hologram bore out Tycho's statement. No new friendlies had appeared in Mon Mothma's vicinity for a couple of minutes. She'd finished with her interdiction field generators. "Order Mon Mothma to bring up the rear of our force there, and tell her to tuck in close. The Vong will fall on any stragglers. They don't need a Yamas to tell them to do that." The hologram showed the Yuuzhan Vong fleet, which had grown large and diffuse, gradually contracting as it moved against the group centered on Lusankya. But without Yamas coordination, the Yuuzhan Vong were unable to mount any sophisticated tactics or manage any real concentration of fire on the New Republic's capital ships. As Wedge watched, the Yuuzhan Vong numbers began to thin. Wedge felt a professional impatience with the enemy commander, or whoever had taken charge of their fleet after their designated commander had died. If he didn't acknowledge defeat and order a retreat, he stood a good chance of losing his fleet. Then it came. First a Matalok-class cruiser analog peeled away from the engagement, then a frigate analog and two or three coral skipper squadrons, and suddenly the battle was essentially done. All the Yuuzhan Vong capital ships outward bound, only a few coral skipper on starfighter duels continuing, as some Yuuzhan Vong pilots chose a futile but honorable death over retreat. "Issue the order," Wedge said. "Set up for the fleet's return." He offered Tycho a bitter little smile. "We also need to celebrate our victory." Tycho looked at him, expressionless. "I'm giddy already," he said.
Han Solo marched down the Falcon's ramp, one arm around Leia's waist, and the other raised in a wave as he acknowledged the cheers of pilots and crew in Borlias's main docking bay. "Why are they so happy? I mean, I'm happy, but they're acting like I won this one single-handed." Leia gave him a little smile, the best she'd been able to manage since... Han turned his thoughts away from the memory. She said, "You dropped into the middle of the Yuuzhan Vong fleet and came out without a scratch. The famous Han Solo. You just reminded them that they can win."
"Ah.
Besides, you win every one of your fights single-handed. Just ask your admirers. I'll find you a historian who knows how to appreciate a bribe, and tomorrow you'll be the man who told Luzonkia to drop out of hyperspace where she did, the man who blew up the enemy flagship with his blaster pistol." "Don't you dare." Ahead of them, the Falcon's passengers moved through the crowd, led by one of Wedge Antilles's officers. Many of them were Jedi, but not all of them had ever been the object of a rambunctious crowd's attention before. Ganner, the dark-haired and all-too-handsome Jedi Knight, was first of them. He waved at the crowd with all of Han's poise, but none of Han's self-aware irony. And the smile he turned on some of the ladies in the crowd was nothing if not brilliant. Beside him was Alima Rar, the blue-skinned Twi'lek Jedi, a proficient organizer of rebellion and espionage. She had spent long periods disguised as a dancer, and she demonstrated a dancer's ease and poise now as she smiled at the crowd. Next were Zek, the former street urchin who had trained as a dark Jedi before joining Luke's Academy on Yavin 4, and Tessar Sebatine, male Barabel offspring of Saba. Last but for Han and Leia were Tahiri Vila and Tark, two worries for the Solos. Han shook his head. No, they weren't worries. They were genuine heartaches. Tahiri, a slender blonde Jedi student, had been one of Anakin Solo's closest friends. In recent months and weeks, they'd been closer than friends, had been on the verge of becoming something more. It had been Anakin who had rescued her from Yuuzhan Vong captivity, Anakin who had helped her overcome the brainwashing that nearly convinced her that she herself was one of the Yuuzhan Vong. And then... Anakin had died. Han could no longer maneuver his thoughts away from the memory. He felt something grip his heart and squeeze. The pain almost caused him to stumble. He spared a glance for Leia. She was looking at Tahiri, too, and the bleakness Han felt was reflected in her eyes. Though dressed in Jedi robes, Tahiri was characteristically barefoot. There was little strength or pride in her posture now. Anakin's death had hit her hard, possibly as hard as it had hit his parents. She was silent. Once upon a time, there would have been no way, short of an order from Luke Skywalker, to shut her up. Tahiri had one arm around Tark, guiding him, lending him reassurance. Tark was 12, a boy of Coruscant, chosen as part of Vicky Shesh's kidnapping plot against Ben Skywalker. Vicky had chosen him as a distraction, because of his extraordinary resemblance to the Anakin of a few years before, a resemblance so distressingly close that Han felt his stomach lurch each time he saw the boy's perpetually must-brown hair, icy blue eyes, and open expression. It hurt merely to see the boy, but it would be cruel and wrong to abandon him, to reject him. It was a problem Han couldn't solve with a blaster or fancy flying. Han glimpsed a head of blonde hair bobbing up and down as its owner pushed through the crowd. "Incoming flyer," he said. And then Luke Skywalker was on them, embracing both Han and Leia, his grin youthful and infectious. "You picked a good time to visit," Luke said. "Your sister's fault," Han said. "We broadcast on the holonet to find out if you were still on Borlias. We got both confirmation and an invitation to accompany Luzonkia. Let's go with Luzonkia," she said. "More safety for our passengers." Leia gave him a cool look. "You really need to enjoy these rare occasions when you're right." Then she caught sight of something, and her expression brightened again. "Mara!" She pulled free to embrace her late-arriving sister-in-law. Listen, Luke said. Wedge is getting quarters set up for you. You have time to clean up a little, but we all need to talk to you.
Han gave him a curious look. Who's we all?
The insiders.
In as few words as they could afford, Han and Leia told the story of their time in the Hapes Cluster after the departure of Luke and Mara, of Jaina's terrifying drift toward the dark side of the Force, and Kip Duron's unexpected help on her behalf, of the skirmish that had left Han with a skull fracture from which he had barely recovered, of Ta'a Choom's attempts to displace daughter-in-law Tenennial Joe and persuade Jaina Solo to wed Tenennial's husband Isolder.
The situation there isn't resolved, Leia said, but Han and I couldn't make it any better. We have to trust Jaina to make the right choices.
They were in the Biotics building's mess hall, rather than the insider's usual conference room. With Han and Leia were Wedge, Iella, Luke, Mara, and Lando, a comfortable group of intimates. They seemed pleased to see Han and Leia, but otherwise somewhat tense and distracted.
"You're not acting like someone who's won a substantial military victory, Wedge," Leia said.
Wedge made a glum face. "It's the sort of victory that can cost us the war. We were hoping to get a Yuuzhan Vong commander of average skills with an average fleet, and I suspect that we did. We were going to string him along for as much time as we could, but circumstances today dictated that we wipe him out right away. The next one they send is going to be much tougher, and that's going to make things more difficult for all of us. But you two have come at a good time. We need your skills."
"Leia's skills, you mean," Han said. "Without her, I don't think there's any way the New Republic can hold together."
"Both your skills," Wedge said, "because the New Republic is dead. An oversized hulk with a decentralized nervous system. The extremities don't realize that the heart isn't beating anymore."
Leia and Han exchanged a glance.
"Let's hear it," Leia said.